Welcome to the internet broadcast of Big Z Sports.
Welcome into this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Podcast and Facebook Live. Thanks, Speedy Septic, for Facebook Live. Chris Kale, Joe Geckler with you here on Monday, December 11th. What a busy weekend in sports, Chris. Let's kick back all the way to Friday night. Obviously, we announced our 2017 High School Football Player of the Year, which was Caden Hostetler from Indian Valley. Congratulations, Caden. And we also announced our 2017 Coach of the Year, which went to Matt Lancaster. We talked to Matt live in the studio. He came up. If you have not seen the video, jump on our Facebook page, WTUZ Big Z Sports, and you can see that video. Watch it in its entirety. Matt had a lot of good things to say about his team and was very thankful for the award. And we're trying to get Caden on this coming Friday if we can manage it. He does play basketball, so it's a little challenging this year with our winter. But big weekend, high school basketball, boys and girls, college basketball, the NFL. A lot of great games yesterday. One last night was a really good game as well. Then we had a blizzard game, so we'll talk all about those as well. Chris, start us off with high school football on Friday.
Yeah, first and foremost, you know, thank you to Matt Lancaster for coming in. Thanks to everybody at Indian Valley. Thank you to all of our sponsors throughout the year, and of course, thank you to the committee, who had a very tough decision, but the committee, I think, made the right decision by the two choices that we had to make. Caden Hostetler, the numbers didn't lie.
Sure.
Coach Matt Lancaster, what he did with that team, turning it around from sophomores now to juniors, in accomplishing an undefeated season, the first in school history. With Caden, you know, breaking all those records, the committee had to deal with the first time of having one school sweep both awards, but you know, it had to be that way, and it just was. The numbers didn't lie this year, and I think the committee got it right, and congratulations to both of them. Thank you to everybody who, you know, commented on Facebook and voted on Twitter. It was just great to have, what, almost 1,000 votes?
1,000 votes on the Player of the Year, over 300 for Coach of the Year, plus our Facebook posts, if we want to count those. That's just on Twitter alone, right, with those votes. Facebook, last I looked, the Player of the Year was over 300 comments. The Coach of the Year was over 200 comments. So a lot of participation. We appreciate that, and that's why we do it. The fans can participate and vote for their player. If your player didn't win, hey, it's nothing against you, but it's just who we picked, and all the candidates were very worthy. It was a very tough decision to announce or to pick this year. Last year it was pretty easy with what RJ Jacobs did from Garaway. This year we had a lot of guys that had good seasons. Even windowing it down to the finals out of our semifinals was very tough. So we thank everyone who participated and everybody who helped us with making our decision.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. You know, if people don't understand, we had, I believe, like 12 or 13 players on our list, and we had to dwindle it down to four. We had input from all of our stringers. We had input, of course, from the fans. We had input from, you know, the general manager here at the state, at the station, and you know, we came to the agreement of our four, and then we chose one from there. But you know what? I think we had, what, 7 coaches and 12 players on that short list that we had to get, you know, chopped down. So it was a big list, and we didn't just, you know, just because you didn't see a Dover player or a Strasburg player or a Tuskegee Valley player in our top four doesn't mean we didn't have them in our semifinals, because we did. Garaway as well.
Yep.
But it was just an incredible season, and especially by Indian Valley, who not only went the farthest in our area, but they also had the coach and the player of the year that was most deserving, and you know, we hope you guys all agree.
Sure, absolutely, I would agree. Now get to the basketball results from Friday for the boys, Saturday for the girls.
Absolutely, boys basketball from Friday night. New Philadelphia gets by Marietta 67-55 behind Joe Boos's double-double, 22 points and 12 boards. New Philadelphia 2-1 and 2-1 in the ECOL. Marietta drops to 0-3 and 0-3 in conference. Dover pounded Riverview 74-34. Shamar Morton, our boy Tim Plants' cousin, had 18 points and a huge one-handed dunk in the fourth quarter. Cade Rusiger had 13 points for the Tornadoes, who are 2-1 in conference. Riverview falls to 0-3 and 0-2. Malvern got 21 points from Mark Maley and 11 from Jake Moser. to lift the Hornets over Claymont 54-46. Michael Lasecki had 19 to lead the Mustangs, who dropped to 0-2. Malvern 2-0 on the season. Strasburg snuck by Highland 37-35. Garraway ripped TCC 83-44. As Malik Schaefer had 21 points. The Pirates 2-0. Justin Peltz had 14 for the Saints.
A big matchup for the Garraway Pirates on Tuesday night. They take on Indian Valley at Indian Valley. We know how good Indian Valley is, and Garraway's been playing well, so that'll be a good early IVC matchup.
Yes, it will. And speaking of those Indian Valley Braves, they snuck by Sandy Valley in dramatic fashion. Thank you to Shannon Thomas, who was at the game and covered it for us. They won 84-83 behind Connor McGuire's 22 points. He had a 3-point to tie it, then got a steal and fouled with a half a second to play, and he hit one of those two foul shots to put the game away. Congratulations to them, and again, thank you to Shannon Thomas for his coverage as always. Ridgewood squeezed by East Canton 61-59 as Chase Griffith had 24 points. Tusky Valley disposed of New Cumberstown 52-25 behind Jeremy Salvo 16 points. And the final boys game, Louisville, they buried Carrollton 80-44. Girls action from Saturday, Garraway hammered Indian Valley 68-21 behind Sid Mullett's 19 points and Haley Schutz 15. Riverview over Dover 44-37. Jordan Kaiser led the Lady Tornadoes with 15. Sandy Valley beat Ridgewood 47-35 as Carly Oldmore had 21. Highland ripped Claymont 77-29 behind Zoe Miller 17. Tusky Valley took down Malvern 72-38 as Boston McKinney pumped in 18 points. Carrollton over Marlington 52-34. Kaylee Husted had 15 points for the Lady Warriors. And Strasburg, they got by Conotton Valley 35-34 behind Peyton Hendershot's 26 points. That wraps up girls action. Of course, high school action coming up this week on Tuesday, I believe Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. So make sure you tune in to all that. Game that's important to all of us here at the studio. The Tuscarawas County Rockets Special Olympics team getting ready to get their season started. They open up tonight at Dover High School at 7 o'clock. Make sure you head over to Dover High School if you don't have anything going on tonight, 7 o'clock. Tuscarawas County Rockets in action in Special Olympics. I know that the Special Olympics coordinator, she sent out a challenge to all the high schools in the area because they play at Dover, they play at Strasburg, they play at Indian Valley, they play at TCC. She sent out a challenge to each school for maybe some gift certificates or something to see who, you know, what student body can get together the most support and come and support the Rockets. I'll be there. I'll be on the mic announcing tonight. I also have the coverage for our Facebook page and Twitter, so make sure you if you don't have anything, come out and check out the Rockets.
Absolutely. And then Saturday afternoon, there was some good college football on, one game at least, snow. Always a fun game to watch. And, you know, the battle for the Commander-in-Chief trophy, and that's Army and Navy. And, Chris, I know you don't have a dog in the fight because you were in the Air Force, but, you know, it's really a great game every year. I think Navy had won 21 years in a row. Army came back this year, knocked them off 14-13. Navy missed a last-second field goal that would have won the game for them. But man, what a great game. What a great just atmosphere there. The beginning of the game, you know, the glee club from each Army and Navy got together. They sang the national anthem. What a great rendition. The flyovers, just the pageantry of that game is really cool. And I know you being in the military, it really hits home to you. Jared, our operations manager, he was in the Navy, so he really enjoys watching that game. My brother-in-law was in the Navy as well, and I just I always love watching that game. It's a lot of fun, and it's not any guys you've really ever heard of.
Nope.
But you know what? They're out there playing football, but yet, you know, when they're done there, they're arm in arm and they're fighting for our country, which is really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I should probably, because the Air Force used to be the Army Air Force back in the day, they were combined. So I should actually be an Army fan, but I'm not. I side on
the
side
like
of the Navy.
Because they get you around everywhere, right?
Yeah, that and the fact that they got some pretty cool stuff. I love the Blue Angels. I've always liked, and they wore the Blue Angels helmets, and those were just... Man, that was stunning. How the face mask was gold, and they wore the gold-plated, you know, face shields. Just pretty awesome. Like you said, it's just one of those things where you don't have to have a horse in the fight, but you know what? it doesn't matter. That game is one of those games where you watch it, you don't care who the names are, not you watch it because it's our country. These are the future leaders of our country and our military that are out there battling it out. And like you said, the national anthem, man, that was stunning. That's almost one of those ones where you just get up in your living room and stand just because it's, you know, it's so special. But yeah, in the snow, and comes down to a last second field goal that was just wide left.
Yep, and the Army pulls off the first win in 21 years. Great to see 22 years now, I guess. Two wins. What?
They won back-to-back now.
Oh, I thought Army won last. Okay,
they won last year, so it was back-to-back wins, and that's the first time, like you said, that was their first win in like 21, 22 years, like back almost to the 90s.
Yeah,
and they won last year, and then they turned around and won two in a row.
Army's on a winning streak.
Army's on a winning streak, two in a row.
Well, great game, and some college basketball from over the weekend. Number one, Duke went down to Boston College. Great game for Boston College. Always nice to see early season. Way too early to talk about college basketball. I'm still in college football mode, and the bowl games are getting ready to start up, so those will be fun to watch. And, you know, Sunday, let's go on to Sunday, the NFL now.
You didn't want to say anything about my Pitt Panthers almost knocking off a ranked opponent?
I didn't know they played.
Sorry. Okay, yeah, they did, and they lost.
Oh, well, that's why probably another reason I didn't want to talk about
that. It was one of those games where you just, you know, they had their shots, and they didn't get it. But They're terrible. Let's move on to Sunday.
And some NFL games of interest. We'll get this out of the way really quick. The Bengals are awful. They stink. They got pounded 38-7 by the 3-9 Chicago Bears. Awful, awful, awful. Fire Marvin now. That's all we got to say about the Bengals. Let's go to the Browns, who played at 1 o'clock as well. Had the game in the bag. 21-7 in the fourth quarter. They were there. I'm like, wow, they're going to get their first win of the season. I'm going to eat crow this Friday night. And I think the Packers came back and won that game. I don't think the Browns necessarily lost that game, if you know what I mean. I think the Packers found a way to win. You mentioned something this morning when you walked in. Good teams find a way to win. The Packers are 7-6 now, still in the playoff hunt.
Oh, yeah.
They're a good team. Imagine if they had Aaron Rodgers out doing it with a backup quarterback, keeping them. Everybody wrote him off after Rodgers gets hurt. Hundley comes in, plays well.
He's played really well.
So 7-6, still alive in the playoffs. But you know what? The Packers came back, and winning teams do that. They find a way to win. Yeah. And I think that's what happened with the Browns. The Browns have kind of impressed me over the weekend. I watched quite a bit of it, and you know DeShone Kizer played really well. The offensive line blocked well. It's amazing to see. I think you fired out the text to me and Eric, is it's amazing to see what a team can do when they have a playmaker on the field. Josh Gordon, that's the difference right now for the Browns. I think he's breathed life into this organization, this team. I think Kizer's playing well, but I think the Packers just wanted it more. They came back and won that game, and people, you know, it's nice to see the Browns competitive. Stinks they didn't win, but you know what? They got three more to try to get it done, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, the bottom line is let's rewind real quick to the Packers. You know, Hundley played really well against Pittsburgh. Then he had kind of a down week in the middle where they didn't really do much, but they got the win. I think he only had like 74 yards passing. Then he comes back this week, and he played well again. Brett Hundley is one of those quarterbacks that he's been in the league. This is technically, you could say he's a rookie because he, you know, he doesn't have hardly any starts, but this is his third year in the league, I think.
It's his third year.
And this is a kid that is auditioning to possibly go somewhere else.
And not a bad game at him. 35 of 46. Very accurate. 265 yards, three touchdowns. His rating was 111, which is really good. I mean, their running game really wasn't there. They only had 85 yards on the ground.
They haven't all year.
Devontae Adams had a huge game for him. 10 catches, 84 yards, a couple touchdowns. You know, I think, you know, their defense played pretty well. But Hundley really, 35 of 46. I didn't think it was that accurate.
This is a kid that could start for somebody in the NFL and be developed. And look at the pedigree. He's coming behind. He's got Aaron Rodgers to learn off of.
Sure.
So I think that Brett Hundley may be one of those quarterbacks that is auditioning and may end up in a different uniform starting somewhere next year. You just never know. But we had talked about DeShone Kizer. Another good game by DeShone Kizer, 20 of 28, 214 yards and three touchdowns. He made two bad throws. One was, he was trying to force the one in at the end of the half. The other one, he just chucked it up in the air at midfield. Those are the lapses that you have is the reason why you lose games.
Sure.
And Josh Gordon has made a huge difference. Think about what a Saquon Barkley in the backfield.
Well, and they don't need him, though. Because look what Crowell did yesterday. Well, 19 carries, 121 yards, 6 yard average. I mean, Duke Johnson wasn't there running the ball, but receiving had 4 catches out of the backfield.
But Green Bay is not a very good run defense. That's
my
issue.
He's been getting it done all year, along with that 1-2 punch.
My take is if you get, regardless of what you do with Saquon Barkley, at that second pick, you get a very good wide receiver, okay? A top 10 player. And you put him on the other side. Now you've got Josh Gordon. You've got Coleman, who had a good game, who stepped up his game.
You put him in a slot because he's smaller.
And then you've got another wide receiver now all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. If you do bring in a Saquon Barkley in the backfield, now all of a sudden that offense has playmakers. It has people to go to. And then all of a sudden DeShone Kizer's game rises up like it did yesterday. And if he can limit those mistakes and they can get rid of some of the terrible, terrible penalties and dumb mistakes that they have, they're going to win football games.
They are. One wide receiver comes to mind in my head, just thinking and college-wise, would be Calvin Ridley from Alabama. He's a big physical guy. Alabama receivers have been doing well in the NFL. Julio Jones, Amari Cooper. Calvin Ridley's on that next pedigree. Get another big wide receiver, have a 1-2 combination, have Coleman in the middle running the slot. That's going to give Hugh Jackson the Bengal-type weapons that he had when he was in Cincinnati. Yep. You get him a serviceable quarterback. Andy Dalton's not great. We all know that. But they have a decent running game. They have the parts there for the wide receiver. You got Njoku, who's not a bad tight end.
He's starting to feel his way now.
Yeah, absolutely. So things are coming together, but they just can't mess up this draft. I think this draft is very, very important. Right now they sit, if the draft was today, they'd have the number one overall pick and the number five pick, which is really cool because Houston's sitting at the five slot, and that's where Cleveland would draft. So two top five picks in this year's draft, and then you go to the second round, you have two more picks. So the Browns could really make hay and really get this thing going if they don't screw it up.
I just hope that if they're going to make a switch at quarterback, if that's the direction they're going to go, I really hope they go and get somebody that's already developed, because how many times is this team going to try and go and draft a quarterback in the first 10 picks? I mean, it's over. Look at the laundry list of names that are on the back of that jersey that have started at quarterback for the Cleveland Browns in the last 16 years.
And the most successful one still in the league and playing for the Patriots, and that's Brian Hoyer. He was 10-6 over a couple of seasons, and everybody else not very successful. I don't know what the Browns need to do with this number one pick. I think
Barkley.
He's not a number one overall pick. He's really not. You could get him at number five. And what I'm saying, though, is if you bring in a veteran, Alex Smith is going to be available. Who do he play for? John Dorsey in Kansas City. John Dorsey brought him into Kansas City. So you look at some veteran quarterbacks that are available and say, all right, we bring him in, we draft that franchise quarterback, so to speak, or who we think will be, and then you let him sit behind a cagey veteran such as an Alex Smith, such as, anybody,
an A.J. McCarron or Brett Hundley.
Exactly. You let him sit behind a veteran for a year or two. Look how long Aaron Rodgers sat. Look how good he is.
I agree.
Look, if Drew Bledsoe wouldn't have got hurt, guess who would have never got into a game? And that would have been Tom Brady. So he sat for a while. In this day and age, you've got to let quarterbacks sit.
Well, they want that number one pick to be on the field right now and win now.
Sure. Well,
you don't have to do that.
No, you don't, especially if you're the Browns.
Least the Browns now have a football mind in the front office.
Sure.
They got rid of the baseball mind, which blew my mind when they signed him in the first place.
Sure.
It's a mind-blowing morning here at WTZ Radio. But they've got that situated. They've came out and said, look, we're bringing Hugh Jackson back for a third year, which I think is important. Stability is the key, people. You have to have a stable franchise. A stable front office is the key to this whole thing. Look at the Steelers. I know I use them as an example. Look at the Boston Celtics. When their management is stable and their coaching is stable, your franchise settles down and can dig in a little bit. And I think it's important for the Browns. I think they end up having a good year next year if they can keep everybody healthy, keep everybody out of trouble. But, Josh Gordon in his second game back, 3 catches, 69 yards and a touchdown, and it probably could have been more.
As quarterback rich as this draft is in April, If you think ahead, just look to next year.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know that this year there's that franchise.
But there is. But look at next year's crop of quarterbacks.
Okay.
Kelly Bryant from Clemson. Jalen Hurts from Alabama.
Jalen Hurts is not a NFL quarterback.
Will Greer from West Virginia, the dude that got in trouble at Florida. That's Jarrett Stidham from Auburn. That's it. Those are the four quarterbacks they're saying could be NFL.
I don't see any of them,
but
really.
But now you look at the quarterbacks that are available this year with Darnold, Josh Rosen, Baker Mayfield, which is not a first-round pick. I think Darnold or Rosen would be the way to go, but they both played in pro-style offenses. We'll see what happens.
I think the way to go is to get an established quarterback and build your playmakers. You need playmakers on this team, and that's what the direction I think they should go. But
they could draft JT Barrett. He'll be available.
Yeah. No, that's probably not good news.
But let's move on to Sunday night's football game. Didn't watch much of it, honestly. I was at we were with our small group from church last night, so I didn't get to see much of the Steelers. I'm not sure I would have watched it anyway. But the Steelers, I looked up that they were down. I'm like, wow, they're going to get beat by Baltimore. Chris is going to be in a crappy mood tomorrow when we podcast. And then I get up this morning and saw that they won. And I'm like, wow, what a comeback and gritty performance without their defensive leader. Or Ryan Shazier, and it showed a little bit. They're missing their best defensive player. But you know what? Ben does what Ben does and threw for over 500 yards. And, Le'Veon Bell had a good game. Antonio Brown had a good game. I think the Steelers, that was a defining win for their season, I think. Now they come in to next week with your favorite team coming to town, the New England Patriots. And essentially the winner of that game next week
is probably going to be the number one.
It's probably going to be the number one, have home field advantage throughout the playoffs. So big game for Pittsburgh, and we'll see what happens. But a huge win for them last night.
Yeah, I mean, it was just one of those things. Le'Veon Bell got dinged up in the second quarter. They played for Ryan Shazier. They brought in Sean Spence, who they cut like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. They brought him in on Tuesday. He nobody is as fast in the middle of that defense as Ryan Shazier, and they're missing him. It was very cool last night after they won. They FaceTimed him in the locker room. Yeah. They took him over a hat and T-shirt.
They left
Kings
his helmet on the field, which is really cool.
You can say what you want, but pretty cool.
It was a cool gesture.
Rivalry game between the Ravens and the Steelers. It was 100% class last night.
Sure.
They played hard. Mm-hmm. They played physical.
Yep.
There was no cheap shots on either side. Mm-hmm. There was no BS. Now, there were some BS flags on both sides.
Sure.
There were some pass interference calls and non-pass interference calls that blew my mind.
Sure.
And I think blew Chris Collinsworth's mind, too.
Sure.
But it was clean. It wasn't dirty like last week's game. I don't know where this Bengals-Steelers rivalry is going, but Ben Roethlisberger becomes the only quarterback in NFL history to throw for 500 yards three times.
Wow.
That's incredible. He was 44 of 66. Joe, the Pittsburgh Steelers threw 66 times.
And usually when the Steelers throw 66 times, they're not going to win.
No.
But you know what? They were struggling last night because they had to throw the ball. Ben can't and I've known Ben for a long, long time. And when I say I've known him, I followed him through college. I got to know him at Miami University. And, he threw the ball a lot at Miami University, but that was the offense they ran in college. That spread offense when it really started coming around. And in the NFL, though, he's never been a quarterback to be able to throw the ball 40, 50 times and lead teams to wins. But you know what? When they do that, when Pittsburgh has their running game going and Ben throwing well, but last night it seemed like the running game wasn't quite what it usually is.
Well,
but
and Bell got dinged up in the second quarter.
But
and
I think that was Ben came through. You know, Ben does what a Hall of Famer does because Ben's going to the Hall of Fame. He's going to be in Canton right up the road in a matter of eight to nine years. So we'll see what happens with Ben, but he played a huge, huge role in that win. Antonio Brown. If he didn't have Antonio Brown, not sure they don't win. They win that.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. You know, they brought it up last night. Is Antonio Brown an MVP candidate in the NFL?
He should be.
No wide receiver has ever won the NFL MVP. This guy has been incredible for the last few years, and what he's done, I mean, some of the stuff that this guy did last night was incredible. And then what did he have? 11 catches, 206 yards. The guy's amazing, and Ben throws for 506 and two TDs.
Yeah, 11 catches, 213 yards. Yeah. Jesse James, a tight end,
10
catches, 97 yards. Here's a weird stat, though. 11 catches, 213 yards for Antonio Brown.
No touchdowns.
Zero touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And that surprises me a little bit. But Antonio Brown having a great season. He's a great great wide receiver. As much as that hurts me to say, he's a great wide receiver. His stats this year, just short of 100 receptions, has 99 on the season, 1,509 yards, and 9 touchdowns. Maybe that's what keeps him from the MVP. If he had 20, 23 touchdowns, maybe he gets more consideration for it. But I think he's definitely in the conversation.
He's shattering records as far as wide receivers are concerned, as far as 100 catch seasons, 1,500 yard seasons. You know, I mean, he's destroying some of these records that have never been even touched in the NFL. And add a fourth B to that. And
Boswell.
Chris Boswell, the Wizard of Boz.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, that kid came in 2 or 3 years ago. And I was like, man, we got this young kicker. Who is this dude? You know, Boswell. You know, nobody's ever even heard of the guy.
Boswell, dude, hair for men.
Dude's been money from the rip. You know, he's never missed against Cincinnati. I think he's only missed like 4 field goals in Heinz Field. He's kicked how many game winners for the Steelers, including, what, 6 a couple years or 2 years ago against the Bengals in a playoff game. I mean, the guy has been incredible. Add the fourth B in there. Boswell going to be a Steeler for a long time.
Now, you know the original, where the original Killer Bees came from, right?
Go ahead and tell us.
Houston, when they had Biggio, Bagwell,
and Bell. Baseball, yeah.
That's the original Killer
Bees. I remember that now. Now that you said
that.
And that was when they were in the National League, and I couldn't stand
And Pittsburgh had the Killer Bees in the 90s.
Bonds, Bonilla.
I mean, they had some others, too. But, the NFL is...
Well, Jose Lean wasn't a B.
Yeah, he wasn't a B. But they had some others.
Jay Bell,
there you go. Yeah. And the Reds knocked him off to go to the World Series.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
okay. Whatever.
But... big week of sports. Of course, the Cavs, they lost their winning streak over the weekend. They fell on Friday.
Friday night. And then they won Saturday.
So, you know, they're back at it. Kevin Love missed the game on Friday. Or was it Saturday? I don't remember. I think it was Friday. He missed the game, but Zizic got his first NBA start in front, and then, hey, they won.
How did
LeBron,
he look?
I don't know. I didn't watch, to be honest. But LeBron had a really good game, another triple-double, led them to win. He's having a great season. Right now, if you'd say on December 11th that your MVP of the NBA right now would be LeBron James.
No.
Oh, yeah. What he's doing.
You need to rewind. No. You need to go watch a couple Boston games. Then
I don't need to watch.
I think
any
you
Boston
need to put Kyrie Irving in that.
Kyrie's
in
the conversation, but LeBron, the way he's playing, man, there's nobody playing better in the NBA right now.
I don't know.
To help his team win. But the Cavs have a couple
they got
games.
Atlanta
this week.
Coming up tomorrow night. But we forgot to talk about something in the NFL though.
What?
The Blizzard game, man.
Oh,
every game that every kid in the world that has ever played football wants to play in. That Buffalo-Indianapolis game up in Buffalo yesterday in an absolute blizzard. Game finishes with the Bills winning 13-7 in overtime on a Shady McCoy touchdown run. Incredible. I mean, they're clearing the field with snow plows, you know, between quarters and they had to, you know, plow out the yard lines and the sideline markers, and the snow still building up. They're scraping off the field. If you haven't seen the highlights, go check them out. What an incredible scene. Some of those pictures that people took from in the stands that were there, they couldn't even see the field. Some of the plays that happened, they only had one angle because you couldn't see it from the other cameras because it was so windy and snowy. It was incredible. Have you ever played a game like that?
No, but I played in the opposite of a mud game. And when we were playing, I think it was seventh grade football, we had a mud game. I mean, it rained all day leading up to this in this field that we played on. I'm trying to think who we played. It might have been like a team like Monroe. It was a team in our area, but it was just a rainy, just miserable, like fall rainy day. You know, you get those. And it rained all night, all day, up to like an hour before game time. And this field was just an absolute sloppy, mud, gross
Mess.
That I've never played in a snow game, but I played in a mud game, and that's just as fun. But yeah, the snow. I don't like being cold. So
I never played in a game like that. Practiced a lot in mud.
Sure.
You know,
like the game was it last year or two years ago? Indian Valley had a mud game, and Matt Lancaster did a Pete Rose slide through the mud, which was really cool.
Year,
that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So.
But the snow games, they don't happen a lot in this area because, you know, the season's over before we get into snow season.
Sure.
But that was, I don't know if you remember, I think Pittsburgh and Buffalo played in a game like that last year. Le'Veon Bell ran for over 200 yards in that game, and it wasn't to the extent that this one was. But, dude, guys couldn't get their footing. They were trying to throw the ball and sliding all over. Just some of the slow-mo replays, like guys getting tackled or falling after a catch and stuff, just awesome. With the snow piling into their face masks and guys doing snow angels at the end of the game. And what an awesome game. But and then another one I want to talk about, the Eagles last night. You know, they get the win over the LA Rams in a great game, 43-35. But maybe we'll find out today if they lost their possible MVP candidate quarterback in his second year, Carson Wentz.
Reports saying that the Eagles fear that Carson Wentz has blown his ACL out. Examinations happening on the field during the game and in the locker room.
He continued after that.
Yeah, said the ACL was very loose and moving around, which is not a good sign. He left the stadium on a cart when he went to the medical facility to get things checked out. So we'll see what happens with Carson Wentz. That'd be a huge blow.
Did you
the
see
Eagles.
It?
I did not see it.
He actually was diving into the end zone, and he got sandwiched between two guys diving, and they kind of hit him in his midsection, and his legs kind of got bent a little bit. But originally, he went into the tent because they thought it was concussion protocol.
Sure.
It wasn't. It ended up being they were testing out that knee because he didn't hit after they showed it from a different angle. You're like, well, he didn't hit his head.
Yeah.
But he got crunched in the midsection by like two or three guys.
Yeah.
And he just got bent the wrong, a knee kind of got bent the wrong way in the air.
That's all it takes.
And it wasn't, it didn't look like it was going to be that type of injury. Maybe a sprain or something like that.
Maybe it's a sprain. Maybe it's just.
I hope it is because you know what? The kid's playing well. You never want to see a team like that, even though I'm not a big Eagles fan. You don't want to see a team like that, the boat get rocked when you're having such an incredible year, especially a young quarterback like
sure,
that.
Sure, absolutely. Again, real quick, the NBA Cavs win one, lose one over the weekend. The winning streak comes to an end. Big test for them over the next 10 days. The Cleveland Cavaliers, six games in the next 10 days. So it's going to be a big test leading up to that Christmas Day matchup with Golden State.
Who's the top team in the NBA right now? Who has the best record?
Off the top of my head, I'd probably have to say Boston.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know.
Thank you.
Thank
you very much.
Best record. I don't know about the best team, but they're the best record. The rumors have it, Tristan Thompson close to coming back. Isaiah Thomas close to coming back. We'll see what happens if he plays before.
Rose with a bone spur, too.
Yes, he does.
That's what
they're saying he
That's
might need surgery.
Issue.
So we'll see what happens with the Cavs. But big stretch here for them. Six games leading up to Christmas Day. Christmas 2 weeks from today. They got six games in the next 10. So we'll see what happens with the Cavs, but they are playing well. They stumbled the other night, but all teams stumble occasionally. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Chris, have a good week. Thanks for joining us, and you go back to work tomorrow, right?
You know, it's terrible to go back to work after 6 days off. It really is. But don't forget
that he gets every 3 weeks.
Yeah, but don't forget to join us on Friday night, Big Z Sports Show, Winter Show, edition number 2
yes.
of The Outsiders coming up. We might have some holiday festivities going on or something. I don't know.
We may.
Holiday laughter, holiday joy. I don't know, but make sure you join us from 6 to 8.
Hopefully the mood in the studio will be better this week than it was last week.
Yeah, that would be a good thing. Well, I'll be in a good mood because I got to go down and get Brittany, so she's going to drop me off here.
You're not going to be sappy crybaby when you
No, I'll out. Be good because she's going to be home for a month, so I'll be good.
Great. You'll be really cool. Cranky the following week.
Well, I might
Brittany's
be.
Driving me nuts. I'm trying to wait till back to
school. Yeah,
all right.
Everything's moving fast, man. Softball, we get through the first of the year. Softball will be starting, and
then we'll
it'll
never
be spring before you know it.
Then you'll never be able to record. Court or do anything. I gotta go play softball. I gotta go watch softball.
No, it'll be all good. My mornings will be free. It'll be the afternoons I'll be traveling.
Gotcha.
So, no.
All right. Well,
join
us
on Friday night.
Yeah, we'll see you Friday night. Thanks again to Facebook Live, Speedy Septic. You've been listening to this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Podcast. For Chris Kale, I'm Joe Geckler saying we'll talk to you on Friday night beginning at 6 o'clock.
This has been the Internet Broadcast from Big Z Sports.